Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. If you got your cell phones, put them on the silent position. And I've entitled this evening's message, God Who Alone Is Wise. God is wise all by himself. Amen. And so God don't need us to give him wisdom. He doesn't need our counsel. Can I get amen? We need the counsel of the Lord. And so we're going to look at these 12, from 12 to 20. And we're going to close out in this chapter. So are we ready? Let's start with verse 12. And here we go. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Wow. Verse 16. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. That's a key verse right there. We're going to come back and visit that in just a moment. Verse 17, look at this. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise. There he is. To God alone he is wise. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's where I got my topic. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. In verse 19 and 20, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Wow. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So when we look at the final verse of that scripture in this chapter, when we get to it, we're going to be seeing that technically the church during this time, and I have seen this in the times that we live in, there's some people that you have to put outside of the church because they blaspheme. And this is what he did. We're going to look at this in a few moments. And so his catalog of common sins reminded Paul of his own sin. He called himself worst of sinners. How many in this room right now can say, I was a chief sinner? Some of us were captains. Is there any generals? Oh, come on. But instead of showing and allowing that memory to overwhelm him, which was Paul, as he's writing this letter to Timothy, he overflowed with gratefulness that God had considered him trustworthy and had appointed him to serve in spreading the good news. The good news of what? The good news of salvation. To who? To his fellow Jews and to all the Gentiles. And so, how many of you have testified before what God has done in your life. And so, who was one of the main characters in the book of Acts that Paul testified? And that person said, man, I almost believed. Who was that? King Agrippa. King Agrippa. And so, let's look at this. Acts 9:15. Look at this. Oh, hang on. Where are we at? Yes. Verse 12. Let's start with verse 12. I'm sorry. Verse 12. Look at, here we go. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful and putting me in the ministry. So, there was nothing that he did to earn his salvation. Can I get amen? Is there anything we could boast about? No. Nothing. Nothing. But God accounted it, what, worthy to save him. And I'll tell you why, because he said it earlier. We read the scriptures. He was ignorant. He was walking in unbelief regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Like many of us, I was a full-blown atheist, a cross hater. I hated the cross. I hated gospel. I hated going to church. You couldn't drag me into a church. My mouth was polluted. It blasphemed God. But I was walking like Paul in unbelief. Total unbelief. And guess what? God said, I could use that boy over here. This is what he thought about Paul the Apostle, which was Saul of Tarsus. He goes, I'm going to use him for my glory. I'm going to flip his heart, and then he's going to be my servant. Praise God. So, wherever Paul went, he would testify. He would glorify God. And look at in Acts 9:15 here. But the Lord said to him, go, he is a, what, chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. This is why God saved him. Because he was going to have the zeal of the Lord upon him. You see, if you don't have any zeal for God, God cannot really use you. What is the zeal? That no matter where you're at, you're going to look for a little crack or crevice so that you could speak about Jesus. That you would lead someone to Christ. That you would tell them about the love of God, the grace of God. Many times we walk into a crowd, whether it's friends, family, we don't say nothing. And God's tugging at our heart. Are you going to tell them about me? Hey, here's your moment. Well, Paul didn't have that problem. He didn't have that problem, did he? Look at Acts 11 right here. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Wow. See, that was the humble beginning. That was the beginning of the way. The way was a group of believers that was infused, that was ignited on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. So fire took off. And guess what? Christianity was birthed. Look at Acts 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets, teachers. There was Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Look at this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. You see, notice, they fasted, they prayed, and then they laid hands on them. You see, when a person is ordained by God, there's an anointing upon that person. No matter where they go. And guess what? Gifts and callings is without repentance. When God anoints someone, you could fumble the ball, you could throw it away if you want, but he's not going to cry over spilt milk. In other words, He's not going to call back that gift. One day, you're going to be quickened, and he will use you again. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. Because once he gives you that gift, it's going to be in you until you get called home. Can I get amen? So you might as well use it now. Paul was certainly thankful. He was a thankful person. For at one time, he used to scoff at the name of Christ. He was a Pharisee. He was a chief Pharisee. He came from the line of Gamaliel. He sat at Gamaliel, being taught from the line of Benjamin. He was the rabbi of all rabbis. And God said, I'm going to use that guy for my glory. So let's move on to verse 13. Look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Praise God. You see, Paul did not exaggerate, saints, his past performance. No, he wasn't shy. He was bold to say, you know what, this is what I used to be. But I'm not that same man no more. For you sisters in the house, you're not the same sister no more. When God got a hold of your heart, he transformed you from the inside out. Can I get amen? Amen. And so scripture reveals Paul as an arch enemy of Christians during that time. And that he hunted them down. He hunted down God's people, harming them in every way he could. Man, this guy was notorious. This guy was the original drive-by. He was the original house invader. I believe he made up that term, house invasion, because that's what he did. He'd go house to house and find Christians and pull them out and persecute them. Now look at Acts chapter 8. Look at this. Verses 1 through 3. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Who was he consenting the death to? Remember, he held his coat. Come on. Who's the one that got stoned? Oh, Stephen. Look at this. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This is how notorious he was. But see, he wasn't ashamed to share that. Why? Because he had to let people know, yeah, that was me, but this is who I am today. This is what we got to let a dying world know. Yeah, I used to toke and smoke and chew and hang out with people that do, but that's not me no more. Hallelujah. God has cleansed me and washed me. God gave me a mind to be saved. God gave me a heart to repent. God now is working in my life. This is what the world needs to hear. Can I get amen? They need to know what God has done in your life. Look at Acts 9. 9, 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Look at what he did. He asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Wow. So now, when you look at verse and chapter 22 of Acts, now he's testifying to who? We talked about earlier. King Agrippa. Look at this. Acts 22:4. He said, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. He's testifying what he did to them. Look at this in Galatians 1:13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God, beyond measure and try to destroy it. Let me just ask you this question. Out of all the notorious things he did, and here you are a believer during this time, would it be so hard-pressed to truly trust him and believe him? The only thing that would cause you would be the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, because God will confirm in your spirit that he's the real deal. Anyone can say anything, but God will speak to your spirit and confirm it. That's my brother, that's my sister that's in the Lord. You'll know, because you'll know them by their fruit now. They're not the same person no more. Paul persecuted Christians because he sincerely believed that he was serving God by stamping out this and distorting the distortion of his beloved Jewish faith. He was distorting everything. And he knew the Old Testament prophecies about the Christ to come, but he failed to see it like all of them. That's why God had to go get him. God had to knock him off his horse. Can I get an amen? God had to knock me off my beast. If God didn't knock me off my beast, I'd probably be dead by now. Help us, Jesus. And so despite of all his knowledge as a Pharisee, Paul remained in ignorance about Jesus' true identity, saints, and stubbornly remained in unbelief for a long time until God came and got him when he was on the road to Damascus. Even after seeing the unwavering faith of Stephen and the other Christians whom he persecuted and perhaps even killed, Paul had the chance to believe at that time, but he missed it. He missed that moment to see that these people died for their faith. So he was so bound up in the false zeal. He had zeal for God, but in a false way. He thought he was doing God a favor by destroying the church. Until Jesus said, uh-oh. And God had to speak from heaven, blinded him. And then the men that were riding with him heard the voice too. Wow. They heard the voice too. Just imagine having a blowhorn from heaven speak loud and clear from heaven. They didn't have a PA system back then. And there was probably nobody around them. But a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then what did he say? Because he was blinded. Who are you, Lord? Didn't even know. But he said the right thing. Who are you, Lord? Thank you, God. So he had the chance, but he missed it. Yet God came to Paul even as he set out to capture more Christians, offering grace and mercy, and even giving Paul a Saul of Tarsus a new start. I got saved at 30. How old were you, brother, when you got saved? What was the age?
39. I just turned 40.
Just turned 40. How about you? Well, how old were you? 38? How about you? Okay. I know a whole lot of people that got saved in our time frame. You know why? Because, and not to say that he doesn't save young, because he does. But I look at it like we've been there, done that. And we were coming to a place in our life where, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I believe God put that in us, that we would turn to him. He softened us. He knew how to soften us up. You know, sometimes you got to soften someone up before you go in to knock them out. That's why boxers use that body to soften them up. And then they come with the hook and the right and the uppercut and they're done. And so, let's move on to verse 14. of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And so Paul, which was Saul of Tarsus, he blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied the Christian faith. He hated the Christians, as we are reading and being reminded of. But God's grace had overcome it all. I need you to catch this verse of scripture. I didn't write it down here. But where sin abound, grace much more abounds. Can I get an amen? I don't care how dark and ugly something looks like. The grace of God is greater than that, whatever it may be. Can I get an amen? I remember back in the day we had a men's ministry called Brothers in Christ. And we were passing tracts out by Market Street back in the day. This is maybe 30 years ago. And there was a group of us. It was about 9:30 at night. And nobody would go out there passing tracts that late. And we went into a back alley. And there was hundreds of people back there doping it up. We came around the corner. They thought we were the cops and they were running. We said, hey, no, we came to pray for you. This one guy fell on his knees with a needle in his arm. We prayed for him. He ended up being a deacon at Brother Frank's church. A year later, he got saved, became a deacon. You never know who you're going to encounter in your walk by reaching out to souls. Yes, his name is Michael. Yes, he was a black brother. Yes, yes. Brother Frank's club was Hope Baptist Church, somewhere over there by Market. And so, when God got a hold, because if we look at this, and the grace of our Lord was what? Exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So when God got a hold of Saul's heart and changed his name to Paul, this is what destroyed all the malice. It destroyed all the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the fierceness, the murdering heart that he had. This is what destroys this in the life of a person, is right up here. But the fruit of the Spirit, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Yolanda was walking by when I got a phone call. It was Rabbi from Temple Beth Shalom. And I pointed the phone to her. I go, it's Rabbi. And this is what he said. He goes, Reverend. Calls me Reverend Fee. Reverend, what Gaza, what Hezbollah, what Iran needs, he goes, I'm serious. This is what he told me. I'm serious. He goes, these people's hearts will not change. They need to flood them with thousands of evangelist Christians to evangelize them and change their hearts. He goes, because that's the only thing that works. Wow. 2 days ago? Yeah, because this incident. He kept calling me every day.
Did you say nickname of Paul?
I hung up and I said, you know what? I think God has touched him. Yes. And he had a different... He didn't have that, you know, like Sergeant Carter. No, man, he was humble. He was talking to me, man. It was like, I go, God, what are you doing? You never know. All he said is, you've always been my friend, Reverend Fee. I can call you and I can talk to you. Yeah. And when we talk, I tell you truth. I said, this world needs Jesus Christ. And I gave him an insight. He goes, I never saw it like this. I told him, why do you think there's anti-Semitism all over the world? Look at our colleges. Look at it in France. Look at it in Europe. Look at all around the world that there's anti-Semitism. People are rising up to hate the Jew. Why? Why, Rabbi? You got to ask yourself why. He goes, well, some people are just so ignorant. I go, Rabbi, it's in your scriptures. And I told him, it's in the book of Psalms, where God first is going to put a hook in their mouth to bring them back into the land. And then the ones that won't come, he's going to shoo them back to the land. And I go, Rabbi, you know why God is gathering them all? And every day they're making aliyah, meaning they're all flooding Israel now. They're coming from around the world because Jesus wants them there. So when he comes back, he's going to show them the nail-pierced hands and the side that was pierced. He goes, oh my. That was a revelation to him. Open door. I'm hoping that one day, the one conversation, I'm just going to say, Rabbi, you need to receive Christ. You know, I'm just being his friend right now, but I speak, I indirectly talk to him about Jesus. Because I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And so what happened to Paul happened to you and I. We can look at Titus right back here. Look at this. Titus 3 and 4. But when the kindness, say that with me. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It was God's mercy. None of us could obtain this salvation. But it was his mercy that saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Come on, we got to give God a shout for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We are heirs now with him. Everything that Jesus owns and has, he has given it to us. We're joint heirs with him. And we're justified by grace because of his mercy. Mercy. We don't deserve this great salvation. He said, I'm going to have mercy on you. I need you to catch that. When a felon or when a perpetrator, a murderer, a bank robber, whatever, stands before a judge, and then there's a jury, and you come with your verdict, yes, we find him guilty. And then the judge says, I'm going to exonerate him because he can. He can overrule a judge can overrule the jury. And that's what God did. He overruled our judgment. We deserve death, hell, and the grave. But it was his mercy. It was his mercy. Hallelujah. Where he stepped over that and says, Father, I got them. I've had mercy on them and I saved them. And now I washed them in my blood. Woo! Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Man, this is why I love Bible study. You know why? Because we need to be reminded of these things. I hope people turn us on and watch us. Moments like this, we got to be reminded. For all that's going on in the world right now, we have to be reminded how good God is. He's good to us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So let's move on to verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so, saints, this true saying is a non-negotiable gift. I mean, truth. It's a truth that he came to save sinners. He didn't came to save the righteous. The righteous don't need a doctor. How many self-righteous people have you come across? Oh, man, I'm glad you found God. You needed him. We're not asked to consider, but to fully accept the grace of God. We're invited to submit rather than to question. This is truth, and everyone should believe it. Can I get an amen? But not everyone does. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look at Luke 19:10 up here. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Lost. And so you need witnesses. So we had Luke, right? And now we got John. Look at John. For God so loved the world. John 3:16 through 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish. But have everlasting what? Life. This is where some people end it right there, but it goes on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he through that the world through him might be what? Saved. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So you come across folks, I mean, I'm glad you know you found God, you know, but yeah, but they're walking around on death row. People that refuse God, refuse Jesus, they're walking on death row because they're already condemned. So they need to be exonerated. They need to be set free. They need Jesus to come and sever that chain. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? It's right here in the scripture. Look at this. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. People are evil all by themselves. I hope you know that. You don't have to teach someone to be evil. It's in our nature. We just need to be set free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so Paul summarized and personalized the good news. Jesus didn't come merely to show us how to live a better life or to challenge us to be a better people. He came to offer us salvation that leads to eternal life. He came to save us from ourselves. But there's religions that says you got to do this, you got to look like that, you got to say that, you got to follow this, and then you're saved. No, that's a lie. He came to save us. My good works don't get me in. You can keep climbing and climbing. You ever climbed a ladder where you think you're getting to the top, and you keep finding more ladder? It just keeps, it won't go away. That's us. We can't never get to God unless he comes down and saves us. And so my question is this, right up here. Have you accepted his offer? Thank God we have. Us, I know, in here have. Maybe some of you that are watching have. But there are people that haven't. They still have rejected him. And this is why we need to pray and fast. You know, if you're really serious about your loved ones, people that are close to you, come out when there's time to pray. come together and pray. There's power in prayer. There's power. There's unity of the faith. Well, we can pray, lift up these things. Thank you, God. Although Paul was a deeply religious Jew, he was zealous for his faith. He realized that in his ignorance, unbelief, and desire to destroy the Christian faith, he was indeed the worst of sinners. God had to show it to him. Man, that's why he said, I'm chief. He took cuts in line. No, put me to the front because I'm the chief one. We think of Paul as a great hero of the faith, but Paul never saw himself that way. Why? Because he remembered his life before he met Christ. He was a zealot for Judaism. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought the church of the living God was a false entity until God had to get a hold of his heart. I'm so glad God got a hold of my heart. He got a hold of your heart. Can I get an amen? And now you're not the same no more. Now we're his. We're bought with a price. He has washed us in the blood. He gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. Now we're heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. And nothing that we did to obtain that other than our faith. And we cried out, and he had mercy. Thank you for his mercy. Humility and gratitude should mark the life of every Christian. Never forget that we were all sinners saved by grace. Amen? Let's move on to verse 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Did you catch that? He said this in a present and a future tense. All that will believe on him. You see, God had him write all this down. He had him write all the letters. Because 2,000 years later, people were going to believe on the Lord through his teachings, through his writings. Jesus came to this zealous persecutor, not striking him with judgment as some might expect, but offering true mercy. Looking back, saints, Paul, he realized that Jesus' great patience in dealing with him and was an example of mercy. Paul gave to us was pure example of humility, that he received the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Because God is kind. How many believe God is kind? How many believe that God is for us? How many believe that God loves us? I got scriptures to prove that. Right here in Titus. Look at Titus 3:4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So when he appeared to us, he didn't come beating us on the head. He didn't come whipping us. Let me ask you this. Did he hang you upside down from a tree and said, open your heart and let me in? No, Jesus humbled himself. He came to us on bended knee. My goodness. He created all of mankind and came to this earth to save wretched people like you and me. When you get a hold of what he did, you will have a different perspective on the love of God. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done. There's nothing we can say. Look what we did right. We did this, okay. We did that. Oh, I made sure that, you know what? I made sure the sisters wore dresses. I made sure no one wore makeup. I made sure that the men had long sleeves and no hair on their face. No! Does it say all that? not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit when He poured it out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Look at James. James confirms this in James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Wow. Wow. Because the Word of God condemned us, didn't it? As I shared earlier. But God said, Jesus said, I got him. I'm going to show him my mercy. Thank you, God. This is why. Just have a heart after God like David. That's all. Through all your shortcomings, through all the stuff that we go through, sometimes our mind needs to just get right before Him. It's not what you do. Sometimes it's what you think. Can I get an amen? You may not do that action, but you thought of it. Sometimes this is in our thoughts. Oh, God, cleanse me, wash me, help me, God. And God says, I saved you despite of yourself. Just praise me when you go through those times. Just open up the Word and know that I'm good to you, that I love you, that I'm going to save you all the way through. You have to remind yourself that God has a place of eternity waiting for us. We just have to go through this life, through all the hardships, through all the shortcomings, through all the failures and faults. He doesn't want us to beat ourselves up because there's nothing we can do other than to praise Him and worship Him and confess our sins to Him. Ask God, oh God, cleanse me because here I go, I thought that mess again. You just love Him. Learn to love Him. Learn to embrace the cross. Learn. It's hard. You know why it's hard? Because Satan tries to condemn you. He goes, well, wait a minute. You just thought this. Look what you just did this. What do you mean? And they'll try to dupe you. Let's move on to verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I love when He says, amen and amen. God our King is eternal. How many believe that? He can never cease to exist. He is unseen. We cannot see Him or touch Him. He is spirit. But His spirit, we can feel and touch. Can I get an amen? God gave revelation to John, the beloved. Not John the Baptist, the Apostle John. Look at this in Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. By your will they exist and were created. He created this whole... I need you to get a hold of this. He created this whole entire planet for you. For me. That we can inhabit this land and exist on this planet. Notice we have the right enough oxygen, water, food, shelter, clothes. He allows us to have children and offspring, jobs. He did it for us. And not once ever think that He's not in it for you. I look at it like this. If we look at the whole world, and we know there's third world countries. We know those countries that are starving, that are crying out for food. But has it ever dawned on you? What God does that nation serve? A lot of them don't have the freedom to worship like us, the true and living God. Here's what I'm in awe of God. He chose you and I to be born in this land, in this time. We didn't ask to be born here. We didn't ask to be born in luxury and wealth and prestige and all that stuff that comes with this land. He chose for us to be here. You know why? Because despite of all that luxury and all the things, we're still going to open up our mouth and praise Him and worship Him and testify and let people know that there's a living God. Hallelujah. Yes, He sends missionaries to those places. Yes, could they go because they have a love for God's creation. But a lot of them are in that situation because Jesus is not who they worship. Look at this in Psalm 145. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His actions. Let me ask you this. Has He been good to you, saints? Oh, He's been good to me. I know He's been good to you. Yeah, we go through stuff. Yeah, we go through trials. Yeah, we go through setbacks and things happen in our life. But God is good. We're still going to praise Him. It may not be a perfect life, but guess what? It's a satisfied life with Christ. We have everything we need. And everything that we need, He will supply according to His riches and glory. Can I get an amen? Let's move on to verse 18. We got a couple more verses. We got all the way through 20, so we are in 18 now. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Praise God. Praise God. You know, there were many prophecies. And notice he says that by them that they may wage good warfare. This I charge, commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. So there were prophetic things that were said. And so a lot of them had to be prepared. Look at this. Number one, I have a point here. These were Old Testament promises, prophesied by the prophets, promises that Timothy claimed. Number two, they were prophetic utterances at Timothy's ordination. And where do we see this? Where do we see where Timothy was receiving all this? Look at in Acts 14:23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. He was clumped up right in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. See, there's an order with God. When you become a minister of the gospel, there needs to be an acknowledgement of what God is doing to this person and how He's ministering to the saints of God. And then when man sees it, when God sees it, then that person is ready for ordination to do and continue the work of God. Look at this. In chapter 4, we're going to get to that. But look what was said to Timothy. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. You see, he was part of that when they were laying hands and praying. He was told, don't forget this. You remember? I remember in my ordination. My dad was there. Brother Felipe was there. I had 17 men laying hands on me at the very end. I And it was a time of rejoicing. And right after that, the church was birthed, and then the enemy came like a flood to try to cripple our church. Oh man, we've been through all kinds of things. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to crush whatever God's doing in your life. This is why guard your heart. Because there's a real devil. And he hates what God is doing in the lives of his people. Verse 19. Look at this. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. These are people that have just basically either walked away from God or choose not to believe. And it doesn't end up well with them. How many of you know people that you've been praying for, that they get on board with God, and you can see their life is tattered and battered and just, oh God, they need mercy. We all know people like that, don't we? They'll end up being shipwrecked. We need to pray that God will come and save them and rescue them. One's faith and one's morals cannot be separated. To cling tightly to the Christian faith, saints of God, and live by it results in a clear conscience. You have to have a mind of Christ. When we get saved, he gives us his mind. Now we have the Christ, the Lord in our mind, battling against our flesh. There's a war going on now. Paul says, I never knew until I got saved that there's a war in my members now. Faith and good conscience are like the armor for the Christian. They keep us from giving in to temptation and to debilitating spiritual and moral sidetracks. Listen, I'm not going to ask you what that is in your life, but every one of us has something that raises his ugly head every now and then to try to stumble you, to try to stumble me. It's a battle. But you know that God already knew that before he saved you? And this is where the enemy wants to condemn you. Wait a minute. God already knew that these things we were going to battle after being a believer. So you have to know, it doesn't give us a license to sin. It will never do that. But it'll equip you to know how to fight against that through fasting and praying and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to look at our last verse and then we'll close. In verse 20. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Look at right here. That they learn not to blaspheme. Saints, apparently these two men had been members of the church because Paul had to put them out of the church. We don't know who Alexander was. He may have been an associate of Hymenaeus or the coppersmith mentioned in 2 Timothy. Hymenaeus' error is explained, though, why he was put out. Look at 2 Timothy 2:16. Paul wrote to him in the second letter, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of that sort. Oh, God names them. Man, look out. When God names you like that, you better run and take cover. Who have strayed concerning the truth. Look at that. Saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Did you catch that? God mentions Hymenaeus right here. Let's read that again in 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and idle babblings. Listen, when people want to gossip and say rude things and false things, shun them. Just say, you know, I don't hear this. If you got an issue with someone, go talk to that person. Do it biblically. If you have a knot, go to that person. If you can't resolve it, then bring an elder with you. And if they can't resolve it, they come before the church. There's an order. So look at this. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. For their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You see, you got to be careful who you listen to. They will try to distort you. Hymenaeus weakened people's faith by teaching that the resurrection of the dead had already occurred. That was false. God pointed that out. To be turned over to Satan means that Paul removed these men from the fellowship of the church and back into the world, back to Satan's domain. Wow. Isn't that serious? That's a serious matter, isn't it? Paul did this so that they would see the error and repent. Hopefully they would repent. The ultimate purpose of this punishment was correction, so that they would learn not to blaspheme God. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and we close with this. In 1 Corinthians 5:1-5, look at this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man and his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Look at this, verse 3, For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present with him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Man, there's some people that you just have to say, you can't be here with us no more. You blaspheme God. Especially someone that just wants to commit adultery or fornication with people in the church. And you got to call that sin out. Because if you don't call that sin out, it'll be a cancer in your church. Wow. Look at this. In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be what? Ashamed. So he concludes this chapter writing to Timothy that there is discipline in the church. There has to be discipline. There's going to be times when you have to be tough. It's called tough love. But Paul always did everything in order. So he shows us a pattern that churches need to follow. You got to come and help them get restored. And if they don't want to be restored and they want to continue to blaspheme the name of God, then you have to relieve them from the place. Just like no different from here. Does it happen all the time? Rarely. But it's there for our understanding, that we would see that there is correction. There needs to be correction and discipline in the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this evening's teaching. We thank you, God. We were exhorted. We were reminded how good you are, how gracious you are, God. We thank you, Lord, that the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we're so mighty, mighty, mighty thankful. And I'm praying right now that those who need you would cry out to you right now. You did a mighty work in our lives, and we will always be thankful and grateful to what you did. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. But I'm praying for someone right now that has logged in on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe it's your first, second time. Maybe you stumbled onto our website. Maybe, just maybe, God is tugging at your heart now to come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will show you a better way of life, especially a life that goes right into eternity with him. If that's you and you want the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here with me to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.